Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning. Welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Hazen from the Roby Family of Companies. We are your hosts, 9 a.m. WBT.
Man, I caught that show last week. Man, I learned a lot about Shark's Teeth last week.
I just kept wanting to sing that baby shark. Okay, that song got in my head after that show. It really drove me crazy. I sang it all day.
You've been watching the cartoon?
No.
Knox used to watch. He's already passed that.
Can he do that's the dance with all the grandpa and the other different variations of the shark family?
He's into the three-year-old now is in Paw Patrol.
Paw Patrol. We're on a roll. Ryder and his team of pups. I remember that one.
Goodness gracious, boy. You watch a lot of cartoons.
It's been a long time.
I'm going to be honest with you. When I was 14, 15, and 16, I've talked about this a lot. My dad would drop me off at the restaurant every day. I didn't have school. I rode in a dump truck between two 50-something-year-old men, Fred Brewer and Leroy Oates. Yep. And the way they related to me, these guys were so good. They would always talk about cartoons. I really wasn't watching cartoons at 14 and 15, but they would always tell me they got up at 4 o'clock and watched cartoons for a while. And I thought it was so cool. It made me feel so comfortable. It made me feel like a 50-something-year-old man. And
We talking about like Garfield back in the day?
You just got to relate people. I'm with these old guys, and they got to let me know that I'm one of them, and that's how they did that. And it's a characteristic that two salt-of-the-earth laborers that worked with our business for decades and decades both, it's just the wisdom. Get on people's level. Make them feel comfortable.
Figure out how to do it.
Yeah, that was from last week's show.
I know.
So when I was a kid, to piggyback off last week's show, we'll continue this segment two of collecting things. Before I was 14 and worked every day during the summer, I would get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and go to the power lines. We live near these power lines where we used to ride motorcycles and dirt bikes and stuff. And the erosion on the power lines, for some reason, there's quartz crystals in these power lines, and I would hunt hours and hours and hours on end for quartz crystals.
You don't ride motorcycles anymore.
My wife will not let me. I had a very bad wreck when I was 17 on a motorcycle. So on those power lines.
That's what made me think of it.
So she said my kids will never get a motorcycle, which I think is a good thing.
I think that's probably a good thing.
And you know, when you say that enough, your kids don't ask for a motorcycle. They do once, maybe. Oh, no. Nah.
Or they just go out and get one.
But so I got a lot of quartz crystals in pot and plant buckets around the house, and I got a lot of poison ivy from those quartz crystals. And then we have a gem in North Carolina. It's like the emerald capital of the world, I think. Hidden Knight, North Carolina. You can go up there and look for emeralds at emerald mines. I think the biggest emerald in the world has been found there. That's about an hour and a half away.
And it's up towards,
it's in the foothills. It's okay. Kind of more north, not
like Morganton,
not really west.
Kind of north. Yeah. All right.
My kids like to go gem mining.
We talked a little bit about
the arrowheads and the gold. You want to go?
We talked about
you
want to
go
pay.
Prospecting gold with John Ferris. I haven't talked to John Ferris. I saw him about six
two
months
shows
ago.
In a row. He just emailed me two shows in a row. John Ferris.
I talked to him about
up.
6 months ago, and that's what our bond is. I have a poster. John Ferris is an architect. He's a very particular man. And my dad and John Ferris had a really big bond. We renovated his house, and they became fast friends. And dad they hung out a lot. Dad's like, you need to meet this guy, John Ferris. He's crazy. And so the first night I go meet John Ferris, and I hadn't met him, but the first night I'm like, we're going to hang out. I go to his house. I'm going to say this. We started drinking a couple beers. And next thing you know, he went out and got a bag of gold, a bag of dirt that had some gold in it he had bought somewhere. I guess it's a rich bag. And we panned this bag for like 2.5 hours in his kitchen sink of the kitchen that we remodeled. And we bonded. So that's when we started panning gold.
I didn't know that story.
And he bought this map. He would go to the library and research gold in North Carolina. And he has this gold map that's like 100-something years old. He found it at the library, and he figured out how to buy it, and he bought it. And he got it framed. And it was a teensy bit crooked in this frame. This is like a several hundred dollar deal he's got going
got it,
on here.
Got it.
Probably 100 hours. And my dad was at his house one time. We had built this bond, and he said, Ron, you ought to buy that. I got to redo this. It just drives me crazy. I can't stand it. He says, you ought to buy this one for me so I can go get another one and make it perfect. It's driving me crazy. He says, you ought to buy this for Trent. I'll sell it to you for what I got in it. No, not a dollar more. So my dad bought it, and my dad was a frugal man. He bought it and hung it surprisingly for me in my office, our old office on Harding Place. And I came into office one day, and I got this map of North Carolina gold, which is now in my office at Moorhead across the street. But that was a gift from my dad, John Ferris, to my dad to me.
Wow. Hopefully, we will have to get this show to John. But there's a lot of gold stories in the southeastern United States. We used to go to Dahlonega, Georgia high school. Dahlonega, Georgia. And that's where the Trail of Tears started. They found gold. Europeans came in and kicked Native Americans out. And that's actually where the Trail of Tears started, was in Dahlonega, Georgia.
Wow.
Over gold. Crazy.
People do anything for money, won't they?
I'll tell you what.
Unbelievable.
Who knew we were going to talk about gold? I'm excited.
Are you?
Yeah, we got a good guest.
You're hard to excite.
I'm pretty stoic.
We're going to talk about another gold-like product for kids these days. We're doing a Little League show today.
There we go. That's it.
We have
South Park Baseball.
Andrew Roby, 73 years in business, 1950, has really been very involved, like our linchpin of our giving back into the community. It is kids and families, but we've hung our hat for decades and decades and decades, 50 plus years, on Little League baseball.
Well, yeah.
And up to Little League, you know, the league's coach pitch and stuff. And we've had a team at Dilworth Little League, teams, multi-teams.
Myers Park.
From our different brands, Myers Park, Trinity, and South Park. And these leagues, I can't keep up with them because I'm from the West Side. We've never sponsored the West Mech Optimist Association.
Before we get started, too, I understand that in South Park we had two Roby commercial teams. Dave McGuire reminded me earlier, and he only dinged Roby commercial for one of the teams. So thank you, Dave.
I think what are you talking about? Are you trying to cost us money? We're not. We do not get a bill. So we have the. I think he's the commissioner, or was the commissioner. He's the reigning chair commissioner.
Yeah.
He's the Little League best fungo hitter in the league. Coach Jeremy Fulkerson. When we return, he's from Kansas City. You cannot talk now, Jeremy. You'll have your light in a minute. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the first segment, go back. You can listen to it wherever you can find a podcast. You can also check it out on our social media pages, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Trent, are you with us? He's coming.
I didn't hear anything you said. You start talking about that new age technology crap.
Instabook and Facetagram.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, I got you. I got you. Well, we have a pretty important guest in the studio.
I like to etch rocks, fool. What's up, Jeremy?
That's exciting, Trent. Good for you.
Welcome to the South,
hey,
son.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, and listen, you're not this isn't new to you. You're not new to the podcasting world, right?
Dude, in 2019, I had a podcast, probably 35, 40 episodes.
Very good.
Hidden Stories with Jeremy Fulkerson. I loved it. Met with everyday people and just kind of learned about them and their hidden stories of what makes them unique and special in their community.
Wow.
Met a ton of phenomenal people. Met a lot of people in the nonprofit world in Charlotte. I look back on that year of my life incredibly fondly. Loved it.
Wow.
We've been doing this for over 8 years, and it's cool. One day somebody We'll be able to listen to this and hear these stories of all these great people.
That's right.
Everybody's got a story, right?
100%. Love it.
Well, no, and so, I mean, I think that we talk about, or Trent, you say this all the time, you describe this as speed dating with your friends. I mean, you've talked to them for 4 or 5, 10 different times.
I won't recognize Jeremy in 3 weeks.
In 3 weeks.
It's radio, guys.
I should be holding a trophy. I'll be the guy holding a trophy in 3 weeks.
Oh,
whoa.
Is that a lot? Is that
Do you get
much?
A fungo trophy?
Yeah, I got to correct. Yeah, I was actually tied for second fungo at South Park.
If you don't know, listening audience, what a fungo bat is, it is a light bat that coaches use typically to hit field balls, infield balls, and outfield balls to the athletes.
It's a highly skilled activity. Highly skilled, absolutely.
It involves throwing the ball with one hand and then putting in the hand. Do you go one hand or do you two hand?
I'm a two hand guy.
I'm a two hand guy.
A fungo bat's a little longer. It requires a bit, two hands, in my opinion. So if you for full dialed in accuracy.
So why'd you get into podcast world?
Why did I get into podcasting? That, for me, was a little bit of a crime of opportunity. Met with Jeffrey Gittimer, a Little Red Book of Selling Sales Bible back then. If you entered the sales world in the 2000s, you read one of those books.
Yeah.
Anyhow, met him, got to know him real well, and ended up doing a podcast in the studio. They had a whole podcasting like class and seminar, went through all that, and did my 30-35 episodes in his studio in South End here in Charlotte. Formed some fantastic relationships.
That's cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
We did. Jeffrey Gittimer came with Dave McGuire, who the connection, obviously, he's sitting in the room as well. He came and did an entire, I don't know if you call it a seminar, but really a class for our company, Ferguson Enterprises, back in the day.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
Now, it taught me a lot about the sales world. Before I entered a sales career, I had never sold anything in my life. My parents wouldn't allow me to, right? Couldn't earn or didn't want to be working on commission, had to be on salary. So, and then I became an insurance agent and got into that world, and you better learn how to sell with relationships. And so I read every book that Jeffrey put out there back in the 2000s, and I mean, it's changed my life, hands down. I cannot do or would not be where I am today, both in the baseball world and as an insurance agent, without Jeffrey Gittimer and his teachings there. Full on. Give him 100% credit there.
Your parents were wrong, right? What's the number
one? They were dead wrong.
What's the number one paying occupation in the world?
Sales.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Y'all must have pre-planned this.
We did.
It's in the book. If you actually would have read the Little Red Book of Selling, you would know that as well.
I don't read anymore, Jeffrey.
I can tell.
Jeremy. Oh, I'm gonna crack. So how many kids do you have, Jeremy?
I have three children, 12, 10, and 7.
Oh, there you go.
Genders.
Boy, girl, boy.
Does the girl play ball?
She plays soccer and swimming and gymnastics.
Wow.
Yeah, the trifecta. There you go. Yep.
So 12 and 7 boys play baseball.
Boys primarily play baseball, yes. I mean, we'll dabble in some other, some basketball, some flag football here, but both of the boys, baseball is their number one.
I hear you. What position?
Oh, utility, my 12-year-old. I mean, he's a guy that we can kind of throw him around wherever, and he's not necessarily going to hurt the team. Pretty good hitter. my little guy, Sam, at 7, he doesn't have the arm strength to go across the diamond yet, so he's a good second baseman, good little pitcher and coach pitch. We call him Slammin' Sammy because he's a little guy, but, man, he gets a barrel on it and it goes. So
wow,
it's cool.
That's fun. You coached both of these young men.
I did. I coached three teams in the spring.
Good for you.
You must be in sales.
Commissioner. there's one way to get out of the office at 1 o'clock to go push water off a baseball field, and that's to be an insurance agent. Coached three teams, all the commissioner. I do the marketing and the fundraising there at the organization and drag the fields, line the fields, all with my buddies. Great support cast out there, though.
Yeah, our company has a big history of dragging ball fields. I think it's something contractors like to do. So I never have taken that on myself.
That could be a future as well.
I don't think I'm.
It's probably one of those things like we talked about in the last show. It's just sort of a mindless activity that it's soothing at the same time.
It's kind of like cutting grass.
Yep.
When I'm in my office, people ask me a lot of questions.
Yep.
When I'm on that tractor hearing that humming and the buzzing and all of a sudden my phone doesn't ring anymore. We find out the own solutions or the.
Are you from? Yeah, I know you said you're from Kansas City, out in the Midwest. Or farming family?
Not one bit.
Really?
No, grew up in the suburbs of Kansas City, Lee Summit, Missouri, and then moved to Northern Virginia. Right before high school, played baseball and golf in high school, and then started my career.
So got introduced to a tractor on a baseball field in Charlotte.
Not necessarily. I mean, in college, I worked at a vineyard up in Northern Virginia when vineyards were becoming.
That's
cool. Shoveled a lot of horse manure and drove some tractors there and got into that world. But, I'll do whatever it takes, whatever is necessary to get these kids on a field.
So are you the commissioner now?
Yeah.
You are the commissioner.
We can call me that. Yeah, sure.
I mean,
I get texts all day with problems about baseball. So is that
So what does Dave do?
Dave helps me coach. He gets fiery at the umpires.
I could see that.
No,
Dave
no.
McGuire, that is. Dave is COO.
Here's the best part. He's sitting in the room and he has no microphone. So we can say whatever we want. He can't say anything back.
Does he argue with?
No.
Does he ask a lot of questions?
Dave is our caring guy. He checks in with the kids. He is basically a child psychologist for at least half of a game.
He told me the same thing about Rogan.
Yeah, he keeps me in line. If ever I get too fired, he's like, Jeremy, calm down.
Trent, are you saying we're children?
I think he was talking about you, Patrick.
Probably so. Yeah. Hold on.
So the deal is I respect the role, right? Jeremy's tough guy on the field. I'm the caring guy.
Lay off the microphone, man. Come on.
We got a good cop, bad cop.
I was going to say good cop, bad cop. All right. Yeah. I got gotcha.
So you have a tournament coming up that will have been played by the time this airs.
That's right. We're heading to Asheville. We got a Cal Ripken 11-year-old majors state tournament.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
11-year-old majors. So they don't do eight. When I played, it was 8 through 12 was majors all-stars. Now they do it by year.
We do, yeah. I don't know when that would have changed.
So is Eric. Well, issues. I'm old.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll tell you.
Coming from an insurance guy, like, there's a lot of liability there. You're touching.
Well, they don't grow kids like they used to. I mean, 11-year-old to 12-year-old today is way bigger than they were in 1992.
No, man. I mean, youth baseball
steroids?
Is something else.
Yeah, dude, well, no, it's GMO.
Not yet. Yeah, it's a Walmart chicken. We'll do that. But yeah.
Homeboy, this is South Park. They eat Publix chicken.
Well, that's the problem. So our team is smaller, and because our kids eat Whole Foods, organic, everything, and so we're an underdog in any situation.
Oh Lord.
Nah, but it's intense. I mean, my nephew's 15 and he plays on a travel team.
Sure.
And they played like two games on a Saturday, two games on a Sunday, and then they won, and that put them into bracket play. And it was like Monday, you could play Tuesday, you could play Wednesday. I keep asking my poor brother, I'm like, man, do you work?
Yeah, buddy.
It's full time.
Yes.
Let me guess, he sells insurance.
No. He's a farmer.
Hey, we hope you're having fun talking about America's pastime that our youth get to enjoy. We have Jeremy Fulkerson when we return. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are joined by Jeremy Fulkerson of South Park Baseball and many other things. If you missed the last two segments, go back. You listen to him on the podcast or Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Trent, how do you feel about that?
I feel wonderful.
It's a little intimidating having Dave in the room here.
I'm having fun. Dave does not intimidate me.
He's going to give us a stare down a little bit, I'll tell you what. Nah, he doesn't intimidate
me either. Last week
kidding,
I talked
Dave.
About my freshman year at Morrison, UNC Chapel Hill. You know, we had Andre on talking about his scholarship.
Andre Ford
the Bridge
Boyd,
Foundation.
Yeah.
Great show. Go listen to hey, you can podcast or you can go on Instagram
LinkedIn, Facebook,
or any
Instagram,
of that other stuff. But anyway, Dave was my roommate my freshman year in Morrison. God, what great misery. I mean memories I have. Glad I got a different roommate my sophomore year in the same room.
He doesn't mean that. See, we're picking on Dave because he really can't talk.
Yeah, he did on well, he figured it out last segment. We're gonna move on. Jeremy.
Yes, sir.
What is your why? Why do you do all this?
This is a lot of work.
Give all this time and help all these children.
If you will allow me to answer your question somewhat indirectly, and I know we've had fun with this conversation, it's been good, but to get serious for just a moment. When I moved to Charlotte, everybody said that Charlotte was an awesome place, but the schools are terrible. And so I'm not a guy that likes people who are complaining without solutions. So I said, well, what can I do to help? Somebody introduced me to an organization. Shannon Hames introduced me to an organization called Right Moves for Youth.
I know Shannon. Shannon. Yeah. Everybody does.
Everybody
knows connector,
Shannon.
Right?
Everybody knows Shannon. Yep. So she was like the second person I met in Charlotte. And so Right Moves for Youth is actually like a block away from the studio here.
Okay.
And I served on their board for 6 years. And I was just told that, hey, you need to get to know this organization. And specifically, they'll work with at-risk youth in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system. And they give them leadership skills and life skills. And what you see on that end of the socioeconomic spectrum is their parents are just not involved. Whether it's by choice because they're working three jobs to keep a roof over their head, or maybe it's drugs or alcohol are involved, or maybe they're in prison, but the children do not have an adult figure that they know cares about them in life, that's there on a consistent basis. So Right Moves for Youth fills that role, and they give them leadership and life skills after school. Tremendous organization. My 6 years serving on that board is six awesome years of my life, and I learned a lot. So that's one end of what's going on in our community, right? I believe that parents are not involved. I believe, you know, it was just Father's Day. I'll put the blame on fathers here, that fathers are not involved like they should be in our kids' lives. Now, that's not the community that this, you know, our baseball is in South Park, right? Like, I'm aware of, yeah. We're on the other end of the socioeconomic spectrum. And I think what Dave and I would agree is on that end of it, right, parents are still not involved because we're outsourcing. We're outsourcing our kids. We're outsourcing the parenting of our kids to maybe I'd rather be at the country club. So now I'm going to get real direct. I'm at the country club or I'm drinking or I'm out here, right? And think about it. If I'm out drinking or I'm tired and I'm hungover, I'm playing golf, what am I not doing that next day? I'm not up playing with my kids and I'm not up having fun and I'm not up being a great role model for my children. So I think youth sports in our community can fill a role and it can provide an environment where parents can be that part of their children's lives that they once were back in the 70s, 80s, what we had growing up. So I take that very seriously, and kind of my responsibility or what I hold myself accountable to at South Park is that, creating an environment where parents can be involved in their kids' lives. I'd tell you a little story about my little seven-year-old. He had a game. He was going through a little rough patch with baseball here recently, but we gave him a little break and got him back in, and he had an awesome game the other day. And I had already coached two games with my older son that day, and I just cracked my first Topo Chico and was just starting to enjoy the evening. And my son, my little guy Sam, says, "Daddy, will you pitch me balls?" And those words make me emotional because that's it. That's our time together, right? And if I had had four Topo Chicos or some bourbon or drinking beers or whatever, maybe he asked me that the next morning and I'm too tired and I'm laying on the couch or I'm watching U.S. Open or feeling too good about Father's Day or whatever the case would be, I am not getting that experience with my son. And that means the world to me, and I want to give that to others. So why do I do it? Why do I devote this much time? It's that. I think the problem with our community is parents are not involved. We're outsourcing it. We're not able to be involved on either end of the socioeconomic spectrum. And I want us to have an environment where we can be the parents that kids look up to, love, and encourage, and you get that relationship. The time with my kids that I will never, ever get back. And I want to give that as a gift to my community.
Wow.
Sorry.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah.
No, I think that was from the heart. I mean, I really appreciate what you said there. You said a lot. I mean, I think that's a really good point. And so, I mean, this isn't just like you say all the time and all the effort you put into it. How much time do you put into South Park a week if you had to put it in hours? I mean, we know how much Dave does primarily most of this after hours and during weekends and things like that. We know how much time he puts in. How much are you putting
in? I'd say 20 to 25 hours a week if you're, yeah, all 7 days.
On top of your job.
On top of my job. That's
yeah.
Right. Yep. Yeah. But I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. People, you know, as I tell people, well, I'm a baseball coach, three teams. Oh, yeah, the kids are great, but the parents are the worst. And I just don't agree with that. We got a great community out there. It's an awesome community in South Park. It's different. You go around to, you know, we can talk about this building that Roby's helping us build out there, indoor training facility. And, you know, right or wrong, what we're up against in the youth sports landscape is specialization and in travel baseball in our world. And, you know, that's another thing that takes away from families. So rather than Dave and I going out there coaching our kids, if we're in travel ball, we're going to get them to this other organization, give them to a guy that doesn't care two ticks about them, our child, and they're going to cause them injury and frustrate them, and they're going to want to end up quitting baseball. 75% of kids quit youth sports by the age of 12 because it's no longer fun. So travel baseball is a thing, right or wrong. It's out there. It's in the world.
It's there.
And the indoor training facility that Roby's helping us build out at South Park is our way, our solution of saying, all right, let these talented kids that are really good, hey, let's provide them with an indoor training facility that we can work year-round, but also great for the rec kids to keep this community of baseball going. And that is going to make South Park unique. It's going to make – you know, our little niche there at 28210, 28226 in baseball. We've got an awesome thing going there, and this indoor facility that y'all are helping us with is only going to make it better and further both my personal mission, South Park's mission, and I know Roby loves being involved in the community as well.
Well, that's great that we're – I didn't realize that. What is the facility going to have in it?
It's what, 60 by 80 ding? Something like that. Bathrooms, which everybody at Carmel Middle School will be excited about. you know, big ceilings. So we're going to be able to do lacrosse in there, football in there, of course, baseball in there, field hockey, I think we'll have some reps, and then soccer. And so we're actually giving it. We have to give it to Carmel Middle School. And then part of our lease or contract with them is they allow us to use it after the after the middle school is done using it every day.
Well, I'm so glad that you said everything that you said. I'm so glad that you came in the show. I'm glad we're able to tie the project into the end of what you had to say, because I think what we do here at Roby, we're so fortunate that all the projects that we do have that kind of meaning and sentimental value to the customer. This one especially, because it's a community thing. And so we're not only excited to do it. I mean, it's something I know that Dave and you have been working on for years, but just to be able to hear the passion that came out of your voice and us to have a little part in it, it's a big deal.
Means a lot to us as well.
It's a big deal. So, I mean, we're excited. I know y'all can't wait to have this thing done. How many years have y'all been working on this?
Oh, boy. It was pre-COVID. 2018.
Dave had hair before you started.
No, he didn't.
I do.
Yeah, 2018. I know it got put on pause with, obviously, COVID, right? And then, you know, you jumped through a couple of hurdles here, and then fundraising, and then I don't know if you guys are aware, but the cost of construction has gotten a little more expensive over the past couple of years. So we had to go back to the old fundraising well. Which we did a few times, but very, very grateful to the parents, the donors, the sponsors at South Park for making this happen, because the funds are there. I mean, Roby's helping us out big time with it, and we're super excited.
Well, now, we only have about 45 seconds to go to break. You guys had to get pretty creative on some fundraisers, right?
We did, yeah. We've done some home run derbies. We've done some cornhole. You guys, again, help us raise money with a cornhole tournament, let's say home run derby, the fungo thing. That's how I know I'm the third best fungo coach.
Wow. He actually knew.
You told me you were second earlier.
I was tied for second, right. But yeah.
That's all right.
we've done, you know, every silent auction, everything you can imagine. We've revamped the sponsorship package out at South Park too. So sponsors are really getting buying, right, with their sponsorship, is we're getting good social media presence, right, good FaceTime in front of all the kids and families, and sponsorship. I'm in charge of sponsorships there. That's been as good as it's been there for at least the past 10, 20 years.
Unbelievable.
Cool. Hey, you want to stick around on the last segment?
Only if you want me.
Nah, I don't know. Well, Jeremy might be back on the last segment. Jeremy Fulkerson, South Park Baseball, when we return. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the last few segments, go back. You can podcast us, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, all three. It's all there.
Jeremy Fulkerson made it back.
Hey, I'm here. Thanks
for
having
me. Number two Fungo champ.
Yeah. Number two, tied for second.
Hey, but he is the commissioner.
Well, so Tio here, I think like after this is over with, we might need to have like a fungo challenge between you and Jeremy.
Well, you know, a couple weeks ago we were at the beach and I took forward. My son's 8. He's starting to get into baseball, like wanting to do it, you know, wanting to go throw.
Yeah.
And what you said, I went to the ball field with him a couple times, just him and I. And we went to the batting cage a couple times, and I hadn't been to the batting cage in a while.
Yeah.
And I was talking about my lower back hurting.
It can be humbling. Yeah, you feel like you broke some ribs. Yeah. Isn't that right? Yeah.
Exactly what it felt like.
How'd they get these things to throw curveballs?
But when I got in there at first, I used his bat, and now it's bent.
Yeah. So I did, my daughter's first softball bat. I took some cuts on that, and we had to get her a new bat afternoon.
It looks like a banana.
Yeah,
now.
They don't make them like they
like
used
what
to.
What happened?
Yeah, the old Black Magic, the old Easton Black Magic that we all grew up with. Yeah,
TPX.
They don't make that. Yeah, TPX. Gotcha.
But I'll be honest, I shouldn't have been using the light short bat. I got a bigger bat and a couple rounds, and I did hit a couple.
Line drives up the middle.
Yeah, I don't know if I did all that, but it was a lot of fun. So y'all going to have a cage in this?
Yeah, part of that, there's going to be three lanes for batting cages and pitching. And then, the other thing is just kind of conditioning throughout the year as well, too, that kids are getting into. Younger, you got to be careful with what you're doing there. But, the facility is going to be just absolutely fantastic.
And it gives it's a gathering place for the community.
That's right.
You know?
Well, that's right.
And you talk about South Park's not just baseball, it's softball as well. You mentioned that a little bit. And one of y'all's buddies, Greg Wiley, who's been on this show,
I was like third on the line at the Dilworth, the 12U baseball, 14U softball team. You guys took it to us, man. Greg Wiley. Well,
Greg knows what he's doing out there on that baseball or softball field.
They took it to us. That's all right. We're going to condition. We'll be ready for you next year.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? I was talking to our treasurer recently at South Park, and baseball is the main revenue generator for South Park now. Softball's number two. And he said years ago it was football. And, of course, with the parents don't want their kids playing football nearly as much as what they used to.
That's the way it is.
Yeah, it was an interesting – he's like, man, football used to carry this organization. And,
really?
And it just no longer does. I think they're down to like two or three teams. And it's just it's a demand of the market situation.
Wow. Market's talking.
That's right.
And, you know, baseball had its lull some years ago.
That's right. Yeah, it used to be boring. Yeah, and so that's the difference between what we say, the difference between machine pitch and coach pitch. The machine pitch, you know, a ball gets pitched every 2-3 minutes because they got to dial it in, right, and all this on the machine. But coach pitch is fun. It's active. The games are over in an hour because the coach has the balls there just ready to go. And so, again, at South Park, we've always stuck with coach pitch. It's been good to us. And it turns out to be some pretty good hitters as the kids get older.
I never played, I'm 45, so I played T-ball, kid pitch minor league.
Okay.
And never did machine pitch
coach
pitch.
Never did coach pitch.
And I did little league and Babe Ruth and on.
Yeah.
Kids always pitch other than T-ball. And my son has played coach pitch a couple times. I think it's pretty cool.
It's fun.
It makes it more interactive with the dads and the parents.
Yep. Going back to that.
I don't want to be the pitcher because you catch a lot of grief.
There's pressure, especially on that money ball. Money ball, too. You only get five pitches on that last one.
You hit a kid on accident, I'm with you. A lot of pressure there.
Hit a kid. I'm talking about when you strike a kid out.
Yeah. You feel terrible.
You throw a bad pitch, and he swings at it.
You're throwing 78 miles an hour. I mean, you got to toss it in there.
So it was cool. My son had not hit off a machine or a fast kid pitch, you know. And so it was his first time. He's 40 to 45 mile an hour batting cage. He hit some. It was
cool. Good for him.
It made me proud.
Good for him.
You know?
That's right. Well, listen, man, you know, going back to that previous conversation, he will remember that time spent with you forever.
Yeah.
Right? Those are your moments.
Well, to your point, my daughters made me Father's Day cards, and we talked about this on the last show. My two oldest daughters did, and my third daughter helped me count all our teeth and lay them all out. But my oldest daughter, who I looked the most on with shark tooth with, made me a shark tooth card, and she said, "A great dad's hard to find that has shark teeth."
No, that's awesome.
Put how that memory is so important in these other memories. And my middle daughter, Rowan, made me a card, and it had some kind of saying about grilling, and she's flipping over me or something because I grill at home, and she said that my corny rhymes in the car and my corny dad jokes keep her going. She can't wait to make many more memories. So it's what you say; it's what they remember.
Yeah,
you know.
Yep.
And this is just stuff that happens, but it's what they reflect on when they need to do something.
A good friend of mine in the insurance world says, "Children spell love T-I-M-E."
I heard that. I agree with you 1,000,000%. And it drives me crazy. I got a lot of great friends and great people, and they go, "Oh, I need some time away from my kid." And I'm like, "Oh, I
was there. I get it, man.
I
get it. I was there when the kids were younger, 2 or 3 years old. I would have said the same thing. I took every work trip that I possibly could, right, to get out, go drink beers with the buddies and all that. And then it just switched on me overnight.
That's great.
4 or 5 years old, just like, man, I want to be here. I don't want to miss this because it's gonna go and they're gone and.
Named organization that you served 6 years on the board?
That was Right Moves for Youth.
Right Moves for Youth. Seems to have been valuable. Very eye-opening.
Very valuable, too.
With Shannon Hames.
Yeah, Shannon Hames, development director. Sabrina Gilchrist is now the executive director over there. But they do awesome things. They're in like 25 different schools in Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system. And they're literally a block away. That's where all the board meetings were.
Well, Jeremy,
grateful.
Thank you. Thanks for pouring your heart out. You make me think about, I'm going to give our good friend, we have a lot of charitable folks and talk about charity a lot on here, West Boulevard Ministries, Bart Noonan.
Yeah.
He's out here giving back to the kids on the west side in the West Boulevard corridor. He's doing it through T-I-M-E and accountability, and he's holding these kids accountable to good behavior and time with grown men. That's his basis. So
Do Greater Charlotte, just down around the corner.
Do Greater. Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about that as well. So
William,
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the time.
And thank you for the opportunity for a partnership with Roby on the construction side, and hopefully we can bring this dream to life.
We'll be there in the fall.
Amen. Hey, listen, go do the golden rule today. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Carry a smile around on your face. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.